Evident Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, geology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evident Footprints, Don Nikoloff.
It'd be nice to hear the music if he's playing it. I don't know if
And you're on the air. Maybe I should give you an introduction. Folks, this is Don Nikoloff with Evident Footprints. Stick around. He'll be right up.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to Evident Footprints. This is your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'm broadcasting from a remote location this evening, as I did last night. And I want to give a quick update on the upcoming Ron Paul rally. And that's it's a meetup rally in Central Florida, which is taking place tomorrow evening. Technically, it's this evening because we are now on that magical date of the 23rd of January, 2008. On the East Coast, anyway. And we have been spending the day putting the production together. The music is going to be provided by Soul Function, led by drummer Fred Vidali. Fred and I go back about 25 years, and we have both a professional career together as well as a mutual interest in the changes that are taking place in our government, in our country, and in light of what's happening to our Constitution. Fred is somewhat of a libertarian in his, let's say, his modalities of gauging what's going on in politics and his political beliefs. And it has a lot to do with the fact that he feels that we are sovereign and free beings. We were put here on this planet by God, and that really no man should usurp or try to overstep the authority of our Creator. And I agree with him on that. Fred has decided that he's going to support Dr. Ron Paul's campaign, and he is personally footing the bill for putting on this meetup rally, which is going to include 3 hours of music with some discussion about Dr. Paul's candidacy and the support that he's garnering now in all over the state of Florida, actually. And I may have a chance to even sit in with his band. He's going to have a 13-piece group, three singers, six horns, and a 4-piece rhythm section. And they're a very good band and very well-known in Florida, of course. And we are happy to be able to not only broadcast this on BBS Radio, but also on BBS TV. And that event will take place from 8:30 to 11:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. On the West Coast, that's 5:30 to 8:30 p.m. January 23rd. And so we've got a lot of work to do. We spent the whole day at the venue preparing for everything, and it's a really large stage. We're working on the lights and the sound, as you know, you have to do if you're going to stream this live over the Internet. So we're pretty excited about this event. There will be a DVD available, hopefully within a month after this event, and we will make it available. And we intend to contribute to Dr. Paul's presidential campaign out of the funds that we raise through the sale of this DVD. It'll be entertaining, it'll be informative, and it's a one-of-a-kind item. So we're anticipating some success with the sales of that as well. And again, that will be used to support his candidacy. And before I go much further to the rest of the show tonight, I do want to point out that I'm supposed to do the TNT News Hour tomorrow, or today, I should say, later this afternoon, and I may have to have a sub, and so I put that out there for my executive producer, Don Newsom, so he can make preparations, because there's a good chance that I'm going to be very tied up getting the stream online and getting all the equipment ready. We've got a lot of sound work to do and a lot of lighting work to do. So I put that out there right now to sort of excuse myself of my commitment and my responsibility to report the news. But I'll try to fill you in on a few things that are happening, things that you're not really hearing so much in the mainstream. Today and yesterday, I got a number of emails from concerned listeners and friends who are wondering if I'm monitoring what's going on with the stock market. There were some recent drops in the stock market. They made a 3/4 point cut on the lending rates. We're talking about the prime rates, and it's probably too late now. They're trying to play this down. They're trying to say that a $140 billion tax relief bill will somehow stimulate the economy. If the economy was doing as well as President Bush says it has been doing, we would need this booster shot, or this tax credit, as they like to call it. The tax credit merely means that you don't have to pay it now, but at some point in the near future, they're going to hold their hand out and expect to receive it. Also, $140 billion is dwarfed by the 1.4 quadrillion upside-down figure that's attributed to the Federal Reserve right now. So the Fed is not doing that well. And for them to imply that $140 billion of tax relief or tax credit to the middle class is going to upright the economy is ridiculous. And the reports that are coming out, Edgar J. Steele has another rant that he has put out. By the way, January 22nd is the one-year anniversary of my article in the Idaho Observer regarding the Leo Wanta affair, Wantagate, the embezzlement of trillions of dollars. And I briefly referred to the Democratic debate between Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, and John Edwards on CNN, and it was loaded with questions that they had the answers to. They were obviously coached a bit or prepped as to the nature of what these questions were going to be, and they not only attacked our current president, they attacked each other. And I found that the attacks were mostly drama and definitely scripted, so that Hillary could score some points on Barack, and Barack could turn around and score points on her, and then Edwards basically scored his points on George W. Bush with sort of comical remarks and really not a lot of substance behind what they were saying. In fact, the attacks on Obama, I felt, by Hillary Clinton were disingenuous, because she was not talking about her own involvement in her illegal, actually felonious receipt of some campaign contributions when she ran for the Senate. I'm speaking about the $1 million donation she took from Peter Paul, so he could entice Bill Clinton to act as a front man for an international business deal he was putting together. It was Peter Paul himself who posted a YouTube video of Hillary Clinton thanking him, even though she claimed she knew nothing about this $1 million donation, thanking him for making this possible. So she knew, and she's lied about it. In fact, she's covered it up and not even brought this up. That doesn't even include the close to $750 billion that she was videotaped taking out of the Bank of Crozier in Grenada in the West Indies. That took place a couple of years ago. That is at the core of the criminal embezzlement of trillions of dollars that's going on, and this is the person that the media is trying to sell us as a leading candidate in the Democratic Party. I have a problem with that, and you should have a problem with that. This needs to come out. I'm probably going to have to write another piece on it, and this one will be more directed towards the candidates that are receiving the bribes, receiving the hush money, and ignoring the alerts that have been coming out in the alternative media about the extensive corruption that has just plagued the administration, the Senate, the Congress, and all the alphabet agencies out there. In particular, the CIA is at the bottom of this, and then the central banks. And I've, on past shows, listed by name all the banks in the United States and some of the foreign banks that are involved in this. Now, Christopher Story has been reporting on Wantagate on his worldreports.org. He came out with a very interesting article yesterday morning, which details the corruption that is mirrored from the Federal Reserve to the EU, the European Economic Coalition, we'll call it, is basically spending on themselves $600 billion a year. This money is being added to the overall debt. So we have a similar problem going on with the EU, even though they're saying that the euro is much stronger than the dollar. It's all smoke and mirrors. It's a fiat money system. It's a usury system, just like what we have here in the United States. And Christopher Story now is attacking the new legislation that Prime Minister Gordon Brown has signed and has either committed fraud or treason upon the British people just because of his non-admission as to whether or not he read the document before signing it. He has betrayed his country, and it's a very interesting article. I urge you to read it because this problem that's plaguing America is spreading all over the world. And England has been at the bottom of the corruption involved in Wantagate and the theft of some over $4.5 trillion worth of the Queen's gold, which was returned, but the theft twice of $4.5 trillion given by the Chinese so that the Treasury and the Fed would pay Ambassador Wanta the $4.5 trillion settlement he negotiated in December of 2005. Now 2008, and they're still playing economic pinball with this money. And one of the beneficiaries is Hillary Clinton. The Bush family is involved. Bill Clinton was involved. And there are senators and congressmen who have been fully compromised along with the media. So it bears repeating. This is at the bottom. This is the root cause of what's happening in the destruction and the implosion of the central banks in New York. Many of them, Citibank, Wachovia, Bank of America, are in dire trouble right now. And I urge you to go to conspiracypenpal.com to read up on what Edgar J. Steele has been writing. It's worth it, and he's sort of sounding the alarm, as others have. Now, Bob Chapman has talked extensively about what's going on in the financial markets, and although some people will not come right out and say, yes, this is attributed to Wantagate, attributed to the $27.5 trillion of hypothecated finance schemes that are really duplicitous of the original funds, which have been frozen in offshore accounts. The fact that they will not come right out and say that tells you that there is still something very shady about what information they want to get out. And on Evident Footprints, the show is about bringing that information out. We are not the ones that committed these frauds. We're merely drawing attention Now, that said, now we have a special guest with us tonight, who was with us last night. Before we bring him on, we have a second special guest. Many of you listeners out there already know of him on the TNT Trusted News page. On the BBSRadio.com website, he is known as Mad Dog. And we're bringing the Mad Dog on tonight, Mr. Donald Newsome. Don, how are you?
Well, thank you. It's good to be here with you. I'm doing great.
I hope I didn't bore you with that long introduction.
Actually, I loved it. I loved the introduction.
I've got it.
Okay. All right.
I had a lot to say on that. You know, the finances, to be honest with you, when they, you know, I hear a lot of people freaking out because our debt's so high and that we're going to load this debt onto the backs of our kids for the rest of their lives. And, oh, my God, everybody's going to be in servitude. Well, I got an answer for that. That's bull. I mean, first of all, the monetary system is a phantom arrangement. It's an illusion. And for us to even believe that the future, we're going to even tack that onto our kids, I'll tell you what's more likely. More likely, someone's going to get in there and he's going to nationalize all these corporate, local and foreign corporate assets from these companies. And he's going to just say to the banksters, you're out, we don't owe you anything, and we're going to prosecute you the next time we see you. That's more likely to me than us putting our kids in debt after the kind of fiasco that's going on right now. I just don't see it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, how can you owe what you don't owe? And we don't really owe it by the very virtue of the debt itself and the way that it is.
Correct.
And so really, that's why their countries are so easy to forgive other countries of their debt, because it's an illusion anyways.
Yeah. Well, my pointing out, for example, I referenced an amount of money, which, by the way, is now being acknowledged by those that said Wantagate is a hoax, it's a fraud. They're using the same figure I've been putting out there for the past 6 to 8 months, this $1.4 trillion, which is now near $1.4 quadrillion. I misspoke.
Quadrillion.
Now near $1.5 quadrillion. That's 1,500.
Yeah, but it's meaningless. It's like inflating. It's like an inflating a debt. Here's the problem: when you got somebody like me, and you give me a dollar, and now I can tell you that yes, you can have your dollar back, but it comes at 30% interest. And then not only can I do that, I can charge you a fee, and at any time arbitrarily, I can jack that price up, the amount you owe me. I can always say, no, you don't owe me $30. It's now 34. Oh no, it's now 35. Oh, and see, that's what they're doing with these interest rates and these numbers. And it's really so unbelievable that we're wrapped into it and that we accept it. But I just don't see that happening for very long, because the monetary system and those who control it are showing it for exactly what it is, a manipulated mess. And it's not even a mess. It's more a manipulated construction by the few. And it's, you know, it's all a phantom arrangement. All of it's a phantom arrangement by criminals. I mean, nobody's ever going to be held accountable except for the criminals.
Yes. Well, in the context of tangible assets, let's say someone, and again, this is always based upon what faith we put into the asset itself. But let's say if you were going to put $5 million in gold converted into one of these securities, one of these hedge funds or derivatives, which are based or built upon hypothecated funds.
Mm-hmm.
The fund itself is again, a fiat smoke and mirror system for them moving the funds where they want to move them.
Well, it's based on a unit of labor almost. You know, it's almost, it's based on you doing something. A unit of labor to back the money. It's servitude.
Well, yes. Now, we're presuming if they convince you to invest into these funds, which is the problem. This is why they're upside down. This is why the Fed is having to meet margin calls.
I'll tell you, I know a little about how these mutual funds were set up, folks. I really do. I'm not going to say much, only because I don't want to go sticking my foot out where it doesn't belong. But know this.
Yeah.
It is, you can get a few criminals together, create a mutual, in the past, folks, we were talking 15 years ago, create a mutual fund, go offshore, and you could go nuts. Some of the people you run into in life are pretty notorious, and, you know, they found it very easy. They just did it. And setting up mutual funds and moving money was as easy as anything else. It was a piece of cake. And you got some of these criminals in there that did it so well, and they did it from behind cover and behind this information, and they started to gain such a strong grip on your financial economy, they could fill their pockets with nothing. They could everything, as far as your economic system, I think, is completely at the mercy of the banking institutions unless we can break their grip. And that's, both of those things are going to lead, you're right, to some form of an economic blowout. Has to. I don't see, because if you break their grip, there's an economic blowout, and if you don't break their grip, they're already proving they want an economic blowout. So you're going to get some form of an economic blowout. Is the market...
I was just going to say, I think it's already there. I think we're just not hearing about it.
We do. Look at oil prices and gold prices. Doesn't that tell you right there that your money's worthless?
Yeah, exactly. Well, we could certainly do several shows on this, Don, but I know that you wanted to speak about another topic, and I wanted to give you the floor to do that.
Oh, you know, I appreciate it, folks, because this world gets as crazy as it, crazier by the minute. I mean, when you start looking at CIA planes, when they're actually bringing in these drugs, and then they're controlling the you control the transportation industry, and that's what they're doing. They're putting their military at the airplane institution setups, all the installations, the airports. It's guarded by military now, from that my understanding. They bring the crap onto the planes. I even heard that from the stewardess there. And, of course, now they control the transportation in the air, and they can move drugs around as they wish. Drug lords with free rein, peddling you drugs and then putting you in jail when you take it and laughing all the way to the bank. But the most ridiculous thing I'm hearing just recently, and by the way, this has been documented three times. Three times.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's kind of weird. You know that that's bad. And then they can't hang the owners because the owners charter out these planes, and it's very ambiguous. What's ambiguous? But when they start going into Las Vegas and they say, we're going to harvest your human waste, your urine, and we're going to put it, we're going to clean it up. We got to clean it up first, and then we're going to put it back into your drinking water, into your supply. Well, I don't mind that. I don't mind doing that because I figure you can clean human waste good enough to drink. I really believe that. The thing that bothers me is that when you've got criminals that are sticking fluoracetic acid with big pipes into your water supplies, and you have people with huge amounts of human waste that's going into oceans, making fish retarded and animal life weirded out because of all the painkillers and all the drugs and all the pharmaceutical stuff that they have in their waste, you put two and two together and you realize something. What they're really doing is they're gonna harvest your urine. They're gonna grab all those pharmaceuticals that's been out there. They're gonna clean that up, and they're gonna make a mint doing it because they're gonna feed it back to you in your own urine, and you're gonna pay for it. That's really something. I think that some weird machinations going on. That they want to harvest. Really the pharmaceuticals out of this human waste and feed it back to you.
Well, you don't really believe that it's limited to urine, do you? I mean,
earlier they'll probably, to a friend of mine, they'll probably start, grabbing all the human waste and feeding it back to you in a frozen dinner.
Well, how do we know for sure that they're not doing that already?
You know, hey, some of the places have to serve the food twice, sure, or they don't make any money.
Yeah. It adds a whole new meaning to twice baked potatoes.
That really was a chili
pleasure,
corn.
Your fun. Oh, my goodness. This, you know, the insanity. Now, does that mean that you're going to have, like, a double dose of fluoride in there?
Well, thank you. It's so bizarre what they're doing now. And then you think that they're taking all the human waste, and there's all this. I mean, you just got to look at all the articles now about human waste and all the chemicals and the painkillers, and it's harming everything out there, right? So now they're going to jump to the forefront and be the saviors by reconstituting this stuff. But, you know, they're going to break it down. They're going to analyze it. I mean, don't you think they'd want to make some money off of it and then feed it back to you and make some more money off it? I mean, it just makes sense to them.
Think of all the men who are taking these sexual stimulants.
And they can harvest that, sure.
Well, you think that water's hard now.
Yeah, I don't know. It just seems really crazy. I mean, we're thinking about harvesting our own waste right now before we even clean up the waterways, before we even clean up the oceans, before we start cleaning up the environment and these companies that are really destroying it. I mean, they're putting Yeah, they put so much junk in front of people's faces that it's hard to sift through it.
Well, I'm sure this is going to influence some people's dreams tonight, this news. I did read this, though, a while
back. Get yourself a septic tank and be...
Now, you've got several articles posted on the TNT webpage as far as... you know, this whole story? Is that correct?
Well, yeah, you know, most of what I read or talk about on the air is usually on the TNT board somewhere. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it'll be there.
Okay, I want to encourage our listeners to go there and read up on this. We're not making this up. I just, they can't clean the water up now. I mean, how are they going to? I mean, this is just fantasy.
It is.
You know, it is. I mean, it's a pipe dream and a half. And I suggest the first place they try this water out is at the Federal Reserve.
I mean, to scare people
into
drinking fountain. Yeah, to scare people so badly that they got to believe that they got to harvest your waste to get you enough drinking water, doesn't that just kind of set off any alarms? Any?
Yeah.
Especially when that big irradiated material that's heading straight through, I believe it's Nevada, isn't it, where they got to dig this huge trench and they got to put this huge cement wall down in order to stop this encroachment of this material, radioactive water from the testing grounds and so on. There was an expose on it. I just can't recall.
Yeah, I wonder if they're going to do this. You mentioned near Las Vegas. Is that also mean they're going to do this at Area 51? I mean, are they going to be adding this to the chemtrails?
Yeah, you know, wouldn't that be it? You know, first harvest it and then spray it on you.
And you breathe it in on top of it.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Who knows?
They're using their creativity and their imaginations.
Just like I am. I don't know. But it's not a far stretch from murderous homicidal pedophilia. I mean, you don't have to jump far to get where they are.
Yeah.
Once
just hearing this story from you, Donald, I'm asking myself, you know, what are these people smoking that they would... Someone would actually entertain this idea and really give it serious thought. Is it about the funding that they're looking at? I mean, what have you heard anything about what this would cost to do this?
You know, I glance through these things. There's so many of them that I it might have stated I think they were putting some sort of money together for the project or looking at the project. I forget.
Oh, that's ridiculous. Yeah. It's really...
It's been about a week ago.
We already know that the drinking water that they serve in restaurants at the tables... I've done shows on this. I did a show with Dr. Bill Deagle not too long ago, and I've had Dr. Larry Wayne Harris on the show, and Todd Metallo from Lametco International. We have, and Michael Anthony, we have talked about the toxins that already are in water. And a 12-year-old girl that did a science project at a middle school, and she came in first place for this study. She went to all the restaurants in her town, and it's over 20 restaurants. She tested the water that they serve at the table when you ask for a glass of water. Basically, you get tap water.
Right.
If it's ice water, you have, again, tap water frozen.
Right.
In the glass. And she separated the samples from the tables, from the glasses, and the laboratories, from the toilets themselves. She took samples, and she labeled them very carefully. And the water in the toilets was actually cleaner than the water served at the tables. What does that tell you? If you want water, take your glass into the John and get it from the toilet.
You know, yeah, you got to be really leery sometimes. I mean, just like, I mean, I've known companies to stick the big big bottles out in the back and just put the hose in it and then serve it. I mean, they do that in foreign countries. They do that in Mexico. I've seen it done. I was with people that saw that. But here, when Pepsi starts selling water that's tap water, and then they even admit to it, right? Dasani?
Yeah.
Dasani?
Yeah, there were a couple of companies. There were a couple in Great Britain that got caught doing the same thing.
Yeah, you know, and I mean, hey, it's all money. It's all a money game to these people. I mean, when you get again, you got to look at the mentality and then wonder.
Yes. Well, greed has certainly taken over, but now there is this. I perceive it as a panic. I mean, if you want to give any credibility to this shadow government underworld Illuminati machine that is trying to operate behind the scenes in secret, plotting our demise, this is just another chapter in their insanity. And obviously they're grasping for straws right now.
Well, they could be. They might not. You know, they probably, in their opinion, everything's gone just according to oil. You know, I mean, Bush he has actually done everything that you could possibly imagine needed to be done to build a new world order.
Yeah.
And got away with it so far. And he's still there. He's still there, yeah. Folks. Right there.
Yeah, so far.
So... You know, I mean,
right soon,
yeah, you'd think there has to be, but there he is, King George.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're going to keep us posted on this, I'm sure. Now, I know you want me to look into it and maybe compose a piece or, you know, bring something to light, and I'll certainly take up that offer. After we
yeah, you have to do a lot of research then about, you know, the waste disposal and human disposal and...
Yes.
Well,
let's put it this way. We can look at the government and kind of come up with a model for that.
We'll research what you're in.
Yeah.
And get back to you.
But I appreciate you sharing that with us. And I do know a lot about water filtration. I've spent some time over a summer when I was in college visiting a friend who was working for the local water department. And I got to see what really goes on there. And that was a number of years ago, but I hear it's worse than it was back then, and it's obviously worse because the toxicity levels are so much higher.
Oh, yeah.
And
have you ever eaten some of the fish you get out of the Atlantic these days? Crap and the lobster and the fish. Oh, it's
dangerous.
It's disgusting.
Yeah.
It's disgusting.
Yeah.
Now, there are some good Pacific fish you can get still, but, I mean, lots in the Pacific. Most of the fish I've eaten off the Atlantic now tends to... Now, that's not true. I mean, not all over, but a few, whoa. Oof.
Yes.
And I think that's spreading. I think eventually, if we don't stop these companies... because they're blaming you and I, and they're going to take our rights away while they do it and blame us for everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're doing that.
Yeah.
If we don't stop it, yeah, we're gonna be looking at a pretty sick Earth, pretty sick planet.
Well, we've got some guests coming on Evident Footprints in the coming weeks who are going to be offering some alternative solutions to all of these problems, both on a health basis as well as, and I'm speaking about homeopathic health here, you know, natural cures.
Well, I know that they've done some research studies with large pyramidal buildings, pyramid-type rod steel, I guess, very large in various areas, and it tends to replenish the areas.
Mm-hmm.
It replenishes the wildlife around it, and it also supposedly replenishes the ozone layer above it. And it now, they say you can perform experiments like that with water and foods on your own, but you know, there might be some things we can naturally do to change the energies.
Mm-hmm.
Very simple, natural things we can do. I mean, I don't know.
Even our thinking processes have a great impact.
Extreme, yes.
And people getting into, I've said this many times, and I've heard you say it yourself, you know, learn how to meditate, folks, and learn how to pray. And if you do know how to meditate, and you do know how to pray, do it.
Yeah.
And we put that positive energy back into the system, and it raises the total vibration of everything, including the Earth. And it's a reciprocal process, because as we do that, we help the Earth, and the Earth in turn helps us. There's an interaction that takes place, and it's metaphysical in nature. So it's not something that you're going to hear about on the news.
Thank you.
You know, but you know that's true, and you also know the power that you have within yourself. Any of you who have experienced any kind of a miracle or any great shift in your luck after someone has told you they prayed for you, you know that prayer works, and we have to start taking responsibility. And I know you. You're an example of that, Don.
And thank you for letting me on your program. I appreciate it.
It's my pleasure. Anytime. We have
thank
to do
you.
This more.
I would love to. All right. Well, thank you, and I'll let you finish. I thank you very much. It was fabulous.
Okay.
I really enjoyed it.
Thank you. And you heard my announcement about the news tomorrow,
I
should say, in the afternoon. So,
correct.
Hopefully, you're going to enjoy this Ron Paul meetup rally. This production that we're putting together here, and I hope it's just one of many to come. I really see that happening. There's a lot of interest in BBS radio here in Florida, so it's only going to get better, I think. Okay, so we are now into the second portion of our show, and I'm re-inviting back my master videographer and photographer, my spiritual advisor, my riding buddy, my shotgun on the trip down here, Mr. Preston Blakely. Preston, how are you this evening?
How's it going, Don?
Well, you heard the news from Don Newsom. I'm doing great, but I'm wondering how I'm going to be doing a few months from now if all this stuff he's talking about actually takes place. I'm going to spend more of my show time talking about healing than let's say raising our consciousness. This is just disgusting that someone would even think about doing these things to our water. Now, I'm not saying cleaning up the water is a bad thing, but they can't do that right now. I think they're just complicating it. They're making it a little bit more difficult. What's your take on that?
I'm speechless.
You're speechless? Okay. Don't you question your own sanity when you hear things like that? It's beyond belief that even needs to be discussed.
Disgusting.
Yeah. Well, I meant disgust, like D-I-G-U-S-T. Okay. Preston, we got a lot of regular listeners. I want to do a quick shout-out to some of them. I know you've heard me talk about some of these people. I've got a lot of email and phone calls from John, Marianne, Michael. You know who you are, folks, when I yell out your name. Talked a couple of times with Cherie in Nashville, Kastara in the Cottonwood, Arizona area, sent me an email, interesting email. She's recently been in touch with G. Edward Griffin. People are starting to come together. And I've got my regular group of friends, Karen, Bob, and Bill, David, Crenshaw, Zachariah, Sheila, and Jill, and the general. They've been listening to our show regularly, and we appreciate their support and their encouragement. All you folks out there, if I haven't mentioned your name, please understand that there are just so many people out there. But I do want to point out a very interesting man I got to chat with, and he is the owner of The Haven, the venue that's sponsoring the Ron Paul meetup rally in Winter Park, Florida. And he is a man. He's quite an impressive man to see in person. And I'm speaking about Peter Nelson. I got to see him in his Army uniform today, and he was basically there to help us and give us whatever support he could. He's very excited about what we're doing, both at his venue as well as on BBS Radio, and he's looking to participate in other projects with us, and has already done quite a bit to open up some doors. He's introduced me to some folks here that are in media, that are in the position, that take a great interest in what we're doing, the content of our show. You know this because you were there. You know I'm not making this up. So this is the wonderful thing about being able to go to another area and introduce people to us. Just the people we've met have opened up the local awareness of BBS Radio. And people are tuning into the show. They're talking about having been to the network's website. They visited my website. They said, man, we didn't know that this was even there. And we know from what we've done in the past with other groups or for our clients in the entertainment industry, we know that they respond when they see themselves on film or they see themselves at a momentous event like this. What is your anticipation level like right now after the hard day that we had?
It's very high. We've had some very good days here. We have met quite a few people that have, as you have just spoken, been very supportive of what it is that we are putting together here, and I anticipate a very nice turnout for tomorrow's event.
Now, we know of the struggles and the sort of the obstacles that we have about making this work, but do you notice how just the fact that we're doing this and what it is we're doing, how it's given everybody this desire to make this work, to go the extra mile, to work a bit harder, and they always bring up Ron Paul's name somewhere in the conversation. You notice the impact that man has on people. Many people don't really know him all that well.
There have been a few people that we've come in contact with that actually had no idea who he is at all.
We heard that tonight. Yeah. And yet they said, but because of what you're doing, I'm interested. I'm really interested in finding out more. And that's why we do this.
I think the current climate in America, in politics today, seeing that we have the current administration in place now, has bred a new kind of, I don't know, what would you say, a new kind of thinking amongst people. People are looking for change. And even though they're not aware of Ron Paul, because he is someone that has a different insight, a different outlook about how things should be done here in this country, it's generating some noise, if you will. It's generating some curiosity about what actually he has to offer.
Yeah, and we're talking about young people and some people who are middle-aged, who basically, as we've already said they hadn't heard of him. Well, if you rely on the mainstream media, folks, to get your information, and they're not giving you the information, there's no way you can know unless you are researching, you are involved with someone else that can share that awareness with you. These people all know that there's something desperately wrong in our country. They know somewhere along the line they've been sold short, so to speak, and we have to be willing to increase our individual awareness or our collective awareness if we're going to make a change. If something's wrong, you have many ways to gauge that for yourself. Are you happy with your job? Are you working the job that's your chosen career? Or are you forced to take a lesser-paying job or a job in an area that you absolutely hate just to survive because the company you worked for moved out of the country and you weren't willing to move to a foreign country, or because the company went out of business because they couldn't compete against the low prices of imported goods that are receiving special import duty considerations, probably worked out through the lobbyists that pay the politicians behind the scenes. See, we don't really think about these things because they're not going to be reported in the media. Media's not going to come to you and say, guess what? We're going to have more Chinese products coming in. They're building more Walmarts. Here, we've seen, in the past few days, we've seen more Walmarts probably than, you know, some other parts of the country. Maybe it's because of the proximity to the Disney studios and the tremendous volume of tourist traffic that's here, but it seems like everywhere we turn, they've got a way to get their hand into your pocketbook. And it's affecting the quality of people's lives. Now, the young people that we've talked to are concerned. But you either hear someone who knows about the alternative media, or all they know is what they've gotten from mainstream media. And it's kind of heart-wrenching when you hear that again and again and again, that they're getting their information from a very biased source. Now, we could be accused of being biased because we're promoting the alternative media and we're slamming the mainstream. But if the mainstream were doing their job, we wouldn't have to slam them. And that's what gave birth to the alternative media. That's what gave birth to these movements. Any comments?
The mainstream has basically taken a step too far. And by doing that, and you know, when you make reference to young people, it's inherent in the nature of a young person to be somewhat rebellious, just because of, you know, they have not been conformed to the systems that exist. So when mainstream continues to push, and mainstream now, today, has pushed to the point where it not only has become automatically offensive to a young person, but it is now becoming offensive to middle class and seniors as well, because they are outstepping the boundaries. And by outstepping the boundaries, it is offensive. But in addition to that, they're outstepping the boundaries in a way that is not in any way beneficial to them, to us, at all.
It's divisive, isn't it? And it's destructive. You know, it's that old saying, divide and conquer, divide and conquer. We see it in religion. We see it in politics. It's an automatic setup. You've got polarized political parties. And they're attacking each other within the party, and then they go on the attack of the opposite party. That is part of the game. And from my perspective, as someone who has, to an extent, studied the accepted status quo history book that they gave us in school up to a point, and then determined that it's not adding up.
Well, at the end of the day, they eat together. At the beginning of tomorrow, they eat together. You know, it's like your prosecutors and your defense attorneys. You know, at the end of the day, they're each cutting steak with the judge.
Yeah, the end justifies the means is their motto. You see, now the young people don't know that necessarily unless they've gone down that path. You know, that saying, what's the saying? Walk a mile in my shoes first, you know, before you judge me. Well, you know, I would say to anyone out there that has trouble, let's say, discerning this paradigm that we're describing, and we're speaking somewhat in a political sense because we're witnessing a script. I'm convinced, and I know you and I have watched some of these things. We've listened to some of the comments. We've actually looked at the shape-shifting going on, too. It's not just limited to the shifting in the words and the policies, but actually in the physical appearance of these people. It's something, and we talk about that on this show, too, as much as anything else. It's something that if you have gone down that path and you've researched these things, done some reading, seen some videos, maybe attended some seminars or belong to a consortium of people that have made themselves experts or at least knowledgeable in these areas, they can't be discounted just because they want us to fall into some verbiage that they've created, like conspiracy theory or political correctness. You know, that to me is the biggest farce of a phrase that the media has ever used or that anyone in politics has used, that it's not politically correct to say certain things. Show me where anything in politics is correct first before you talk about what I say is, before you put that limitation on it, that what I'm saying is not politically correct. And we see the kids, I know you and I have seen this with the young people we've spoken to. They're either aware of this or they're totally oblivious to it, aren't they?
Totally.
There's no midpoint, right?
There's no midpoint. It's one extreme or the other.
And what do? We try to engage them in a conversation, not forcing them to look at our viewpoint, but offering them an alternative viewpoint or a solution. And some of them will listen. They'll say, well, I've been following this election for 3 or 4 months, and I'm noticing that people are dropping out just all of a sudden. That the people that were supposedly leading all of a sudden have dropped out. Well, let's preface or let's remind our listening audience that we did point out several weeks ago, even several months ago, that the Bilderbergers already picked Hillary Clinton as their choice. So the economic corruption could continue to complete a total of 36 years of a two-family dynasty running this country and bringing it to its knees. That's really the reality of what's going on.
Divide and conquer.
Yeah. Now, how they're doing that, that's very debatable, but there's a lot of evidence that's come out. There's a lot of documentation. There's a lot of research. And I, by no means, take credit for the majority of that. Some yes, and I've certainly spurred on a lot of controversy and a lot of interest through what I've written and what I've talked about on this show, and what I talk about off the air with people too. Now, I use Peter Nelson from the Haven as an example. Here's a man in the Army, and he tells me how important it is for us to support our commander-in-chief, and I couldn't agree more. But our commander-in-chief also has a responsibility to uphold the Constitution, and when he's derelict in that duty, that he took an oath to uphold, I have an issue with that. I have a problem.
Well, before the black and white ink on paper that represents the Constitution, there's a natural constitution amongst human beings. And, you know, there's a playground, if you will, a playground game in every school, and every child, every person that was once a child has played this game, and it's called Follow the Leader. And until we actually have a person that stands up and leads, not for themselves or not for the sake of profit, lead for the people, lead for the followers, hence the name Follow the Leader, there will always be this kind of divide and conquer mentality that the leader, commander-in-chief, has instilled in his motives.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, you're talking about this basic precept in effective leadership. An effective leader leads by example, and the example that we're being given right now is not working. It's destroying millions of lives. Really, it's affecting billions of lives on the planet. It's destroying millions of lives in Iraq and Afghanistan, and it's definitely affecting hundreds of millions of lives here in America. Definitely, that's a given. There's no argument about that. You will not get that argument from anyone, even the faux news.
The infrastructure that I see that exists in many major cities here in America has a mirror effect. And what I see is, and what I hear, you know, we briefly talked about it yesterday, and we kind of touched around it here today when we talked about the impurities now being placed into our water and even into our food with the hormones, with the multiple manufacturing and fast food manufacturing of chicken and beef and additives and hormones and the different FDA-approved drugs with the speed reader disclaimers at the end of the 30-second commercial, you know, there is in place now by the leaders, the powers that be, that represent the commander-in-chief and the commander-in-chiefs themselves, mm-hmm. to say that one of the ways that the divide and conquer has been initiated here is through the music. You know, you turn the radio on, there's subconscious messages in the music. You know, what is it? Beat your mother and kill your brother. And, you know, you hear mm-hmm. that in your music. You see it on TV. You know, the average child sees death on television or in film multiple times before they reach their teens. You can turn on the news in any major city. Here yesterday, we're in Central Florida. There's a 15-year-old that shot another child. You know, in Middle Tennessee, there was a 11-year-old that shot himself. I mean, the violence is reaching the youth faster, sooner, and there has to be a reason for that. And it's not just the music, it's a combination of the music. It's a combination of gas prices. It's a combination of inflation. And all of that
is... And propaganda.
All of that is related in one barrel, one basket, to say this is the message that is being provided to us by our leaders.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm glad you pointed that out, too. Let's look at the electromagnetic pollution that's going on. In particular, the microwave frying of eardrums and left or right brain, depending on which ear you use to make a cell phone call. Or the use of microwave ovens for that quick, convenient method of heating foods or preparing foods. producing foods. You know, you think about microwave popcorn. It's a real handy way to make popcorn because basically it stays in a bag.
All microwave foods in general, you know, microwave dinners. I mean, and again, what is the reason for a microwave dinner? Okay, yeah, it's convenient. But the subconscious reason truly behind it is because mom, dad, single dad or single mom has to work two jobs or two and a half jobs, and there's not that time allowed it to come home and prepare a home-cooked meal. And then, again, all right, so the option exist for family to cook a home-cooked meal, then again you have the hormones in the chicken or the hormones in the milk or the beef.
Or in the crackers or in the bread.
Or cereal.
Yeah.
Or water.
Oh, yes. I mean, it's everywhere. Or in the air. Even now, it's getting so bad. This is a battle, and, you know, we keep coming. I know we decided that we were going to talk about some solutions, but we had a couple of impromptu sidebars in the show tonight. So we will have you on again, and we will talk about those things. But I want to leave the listeners with the hope and the aspiration that, and the inspiration too, that by us taking our responsibility, and I'm hearing this more and more and more as I listen to others speak. I'm not saying this idea is mine exclusively. It's not even my idea. I'm just the messenger. But this is coming through, and I'm recognizing this. I'm seeing this in more and more people. We must take responsibility. Now, what is that? What does that word responsibility mean? Share with the listeners, if you would, Preston, what you think personal responsibility is about.
Personal responsibility for me is, number one, to be accountable. Accountable is a word that I find great respect in, because if you have accountability within yourself, then everything that you do, that you do for another, everything that another sees you do is symbolic to doing the right thing.
Yes, and so you're talking about honesty and integrity too in that accountability.
Exactly.
You know, the statement, I did not have sex with that woman. That not only was a lie, it was not a demonstration of accountability, although it did point to responsibility of, but the opposite result. In other words, we now have judgment and we have guilt implied there, yet nothing was done.
Well, accountability, if this truth would have came out from the start, because it came out in the end, what would the difference have been?
Well,
would have been, he would have been looked at as a person that spoke the truth.
It came out of everything but that blue dress. In reality, yes, you're right. You know, the point is, the accountability requires an admission and an acceptability of both the credit for doing a good job or a job well done, and the credit for messing up the job. And that is where the integrity factor and the honesty factor, and of course I'm speaking of a past president when I made that statement, that lighthearted statement I made a couple of moments ago, that's taking responsibility, or that's denying any responsibility for it. What the people are in right now is denial. They're not willing to face the fact that we must take responsibility individually before we can collectively take responsibility. So what we're looking to affect, the change, the positive change that we're looking to affect throughout the world, which ultimately will raise the world's consciousness, will raise the consciousness of humanity.
Humanity, correct.
Will be our salvation, really, ourselves. We keep looking outside of ourselves to find someone to save us. We want this leader who will save us. Ron Paul's not going to do that. Ron Paul's going to take care of business to make government accountable. We still must make ourselves accountable, though. Would you agree?
I agree. You know, it starts with self.
Yes. And you know, when we had dinner tonight, we had a wonderful dinner. We went to an awesome restaurant. We want to thank Vance for dinner tonight. Vance is the man tonight. And last night, we got to hear a man that is very spiritual and very successful in business talk about how he was brought up. He was brought up to respect any man, regardless of his color, regardless of his creed. And he's a man of action. He demonstrated that just because he took us out to dinner. He didn't have to say anything. But there was a lot of heartfelt discussion that went on because we were a group of people, four individuals, that were taking personal responsibility for everything going on in their lives and working collectively together in that manner. And it was very easy for us to talk about these things, about racial prejudice and how stupid it is, how senseless and needless it is.
What I found was that it was more so for me refreshing to sit with individuals amongst a room of other individuals, but not knowing who those other individuals are. But for us to sit together with ourselves, individuals who, number one, are accountable, and to have a conversation with another accountable person, you can travel that much faster in the things that need to be done because you're not necessarily wondering if this person is listening to you or if they're having an ulterior motive in thought about what it is that you're saying. You can grow that much faster in the things that you're talking about and build a substantial foundation, a platform that you can stand and work from.
Yeah, I see. I feel that. Now, that's the beauty of Ron Paul's campaign, is that people from all different walks of life are supporting what he's doing. The one thing they have in common is what? Responsibility, honesty, integrity, accountability.
It's a beautiful word.
Yeah, yeah. And that's what this day is going to be about, or I should say this evening. And really, we have a lot of work to do. We have used up a little bit of extra time. We want to thank everyone who's listening to the show. Those of you who have participated in some very strenuous activities, conversations, strategies, planning sessions, pre-production meetings, etc. We want to thank all of you. If we don't mention you by name, of course, we want to thank Mr. Peter Nelson, also Maria, and Inez, and Josie, and Aaron, and David, their house engineer, who's going to be working with us very closely for the work. Also, Jeff, Fred Badali is the sponsor of this event, and he has had to dig into his pockets and deep down into his soul to make this work, and he has pulled a lot of strings and brought a lot of high-quality people together. So we want to thank everyone who is going to participate in this event for their contributions. We will continue to thank you after we've done a great job. We want to thank Seth, and I'm going to thank Seth for sending me that URL in advance, and also Mr. Donald Newsom for his cameo appearance on Evident Footprints. You've been listening to Evident Footprints. I'm the host, Don Nikoloff. Our special guest tonight was Mr. Preston Blakely and Donald Newsom. And I'll be back tomorrow with a three-hour show simulcast on BBS Radio TV. And don't miss it, the Ron Paul meetup with Soul Function and yours truly, Don Nikoloff. In the meantime, peace, love, light, and have a good night.